Volkswagen's former CEO is charged with fraud. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. So you may remember back in 2015, we learned that Volkswagen was rigging its diesel cars with software designed to cheat on emissions tests. Martin Winterkorn was the CEO of Volkswagen at the time, and he resigned as a result of the scandal. Now he's been charged with fraud by the U.S. Department of Justice. The BBC's Theo Leggett is here to bring us up to speed on this. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning.
So give us a rundown of what precisely Mr. Winterkorn has been charged with.
Well, we should say at the outset, this is an indictment. These are allegations that haven't been tested in a court of law, but they are extraordinary allegations. Back in 2015, when this scandal came to light, the chief executive of Volkswagen America at the time, Michael Horn, said that it was his understanding that all this was the work of a couple of rogue engineers. Well, what this indictment sets out is the belief that Martin Winterkorn was not only informed about what was going on, he was informed about it in some detail, what engineers were up to, what the likely repercussions might be if the US authorities found out, and what the company was doing about it, and basically gave the go-ahead for a cover-up to continue. Now, those are very serious allegations indeed.
In detailed allegations, what does this mean for Volkswagen, the company?
Well, Volkswagen, the company, has actually recovered from this whole scandal very well indeed. Last year, it sold a record number of cars. The company has changed a lot. It's focusing much more on electric vehicles and environmentally friendly vehicles, and its corporate structure has changed quite a bit as well. So the company itself has moved on. It's costed an awful lot of money, $30 billion or so. But the company itself, you know, we talk about reputational damage. There doesn't seem to be a lot of long-term damage. What it means for Martin Winterkorn, though, is he's still under investigation in Germany. He will never be tried in a US court of law, or at least the chances are he won't be, because it's very difficult to extradite German citizens to the United States. But if German prosecutors are reading what's been set out by the Department of Justice here, then things start to look even worse for him in Germany itself.
And now, Volkswagen, of course, denies that Mr. Winterkorn was involved in the production and cover-up of these so-called defeat devices, correct?
Its statement today is that it would be inappropriate to comment on individual cases. And let's not forget, Martin Winterkorn is no longer with the company.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down in the 1 to 2/10% range, with the Dow future down 34 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.93%. Remington Outdoor, one of the U.S.'s biggest and oldest gun makers, says it expects to exit Chapter 11 bankruptcy this month. The company had been crippled by more than $750 million in debt when it filed for bankruptcy in March. That debt has been erased, and the company will now be owned by its creditors, which include J.P. Morgan. Gun sales fell after the 2016 election, but in recent months, sales appear to be rising. The U.S. trade delegation to China has wrapped up talks in Beijing. This was a high-profile delegation, including the Secretaries of Treasury and Commerce and several of the president's top economic advisors. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin told reporters in Beijing after the talks that there had been, quote, good conversations. Marketplace's Jennifer Pack has been following the talks from Shanghai and joins us now. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Sabri.
We know a little bit of the conversations that Steve Mnuchin mentioned. What was the U.S. delegation asking for?
Well, documents leaked to the media said that the U.S. demanded a lot over the next 2 years. It's asking China to buy more American products, reduce the trade deficit by $100 billion a year, stop forcing American firms who want to operate in China to transfer technology, stop providing subsidies and government help to China's advanced technologies industries, to level the playing field for American firms who are operating here, so no forced joint ventures, and to withdraw tariffs currently aimed at American farmers, among other demands.
That's already a ton of demands. How likely is it that China will meet any or all of them?
Well, it's tough to say. China's state news agency Xinhua said the two sides agreed on some points. They diverged on some bigger issues, but it didn't specifically say which ones. What we do know is that China's government here makes long-term economic plans. So it's not likely going to step back from, say, its Made in China 2025 policy. This is a plan to make national champions, to make companies dominate in robotics, biomedicine, industries of the future. And they're not readily going to step back from it because the U.S. said so. And on the front of intellectual property protection, well, China says it has been improving on that front. It denies that the government, as a central policy, forces U.S. companies to transfer technology. Here's what the head of the state intellectual property office said on Thursday. So Shen Changyu says that China believes in protecting intellectual property, but that's no excuse and no reason to then be protectionist in trade.
Well, the meeting's over now. What's next?
Well, we haven't heard of any future meetings, but there were some low expectations from this visit from some experts I've spoken to. One analyst in China said the fact that the U.S. has sent such a senior group of officials to Beijing to negotiate rather than making unilateral demands is already a promising start.
All right. Marketplace's Jennifer Peck. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bree.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Our engineer is Brian Allison. And I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.